Jurors led Jesus from a courtroom of mockery and nailed him to an old cross to die. They laughed at his statement, "I'll rise again, you'll see." One pierced a sharp spear in his side.
His cry, "It is finished," was heard from the hillside. He was placed in a tomb by his friends. His words were remembered by Mary as she cried, "I must die, but I'll live again." Not even the grave clothes, not even a stone, not even the soldiers who watched all night long, not even the great Roman seal at the door.
Oh, we'll hear more of that later. What a broadcast we have today. I don't want you to miss a bit of it, and I want you in the middle of it. You know, there's nothing I like my entire audience being a part of the broadcast. I want you to be in the middle of it. I want questions every which way. I want you to ask me questions I can't answer. I like that. I really do. I'm here to learn. And I can learn from my listeners as well as I hope you can learn from me. Now, it's been a joy this last Saturday doing a program on the church. I love the church. Last week we did a program on walking in the midst of His church. Notice I said His church. Today, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, that's the name of the program. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Now that's a beautiful progression, you know, walking in the midst of the church, and then upon this rock I will build my church. Now you need to understand the rock is Christ. Everybody knows that. The rock is Christ. But it's not only the living word, it's the written word. The written word and the living word are absolutely unanimously united. They cannot be separated. The living word and the written word. And we're going to take a little look at the Bible today. We're going to try to understand how important is this book. What does this book mean to you? What does this book mean to you? Is it infallible? Is it literal? Is it literal from Genesis to Revelation? Is it literal, every page and every chapter and every line and every word? Jesus said not one jot or one tittle will pass from this great word until all be fulfilled. Not a jot or a tittle. I mean, that's about as small of, you know, a dot of an I or a cross of a T would be equivalent to a jot and a tittle. Now, that's how important your Bible is. And upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. The church cannot be built on anything but this rock. Now, to get our study really going today, last week we talked about the church at Ephesus and walking in the midst of the church. Today, the next three churches in that same second chapter of Revelation is Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira. Pergamos and Thyatira. Could I tell you that the church of Smyrna was lily white? You remember hearing those words? I hadn't heard them in a long time, and they struck me this morning. Lily White. The church at Smyrna was Lily White. Now, I want to tell you, I've studied revivals all through the centuries. I love studying them. And every time they were born in a Lily White church. The Smyrna church is the seat of revival. The Smyrna church is the seat of revival in the church world. If you don't have a Smyrna church, you will never have a revival. You understand that? It's a Lily White church. And remember, the words of the Lord appearing to that church was as the resurrected one. I'm he that was that's alive and, you know, resurrected. A beautiful picture. Let me read that. I want you to make sure you never forget those words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church saith unto. I'm sorry, wrong verse for me to read. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. Listen, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So the first church, he's walking in the midst of them. And now he's seen as the resurrected Christ, the resurrected one. Now, the next church is Pergamos, and he's seen as the one who has a two-edged sword. Now, that two-edged sword is the Word of God. Do you hear me? That two-edged sword is the Word of God. Can't take that away, just as clear as a bell. And it's wonderful to know this, you know? It really is wonderful to know it. And when you understand those kind of truths, and they get a hold of you. Now, the next church is Thyatira. Now, that's where the rubber really meets the road, because Jezebel is in the middle of that church and has pretty much taken over. And the Lord is really, really, really dealing with them. Now, here's what I want to do today. We're going to talk about these three churches. We're going to talk about the Bible, the Word of God, the infallible book in the middle of the church, at the root of the church. The foundation of the church is both Christ and His Word. The living Christ, the written Word. The living Christ, the written Word. Would you say that over and over with me? The living Christ, the written Word. That is the heart of the church. Without it, the church cannot be a Smyrna church. It cannot be Lily White if the Bible isn't the center and the Bible isn't the defining truth, the defining gospel, the defining theology, the defining message. We live in a day when some sick things have happened. And I'm going to tell you at the end of this hour, if you'll stay with me, if you'll stay with me, I'm going to tell you whether you stay with me or not. But for those who do stay with me, I'm going to tell you why this particular election cycle is such a division, such a divisive thing. I mean, you got two companies. Almost everybody is in one or the other of those companies, either going to vote for Hillary or going to vote for Trump. And there is a defining thing about this election that I'm going to tell you about at the end, because it's the same thing that defines the Church of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. We can look at this election and see the definition of the church world. We can look at this election and see the definition of the church world. Now, nothing is black and white in a total manner, because there's some variations on both sides, and you understand that. I'm not trying to paint a too restricted picture. I want you to see the whole picture. Now, let's start, if we might, and let's read the message, a little bit of it, to the church at Pergamos. Listen to this now. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, write. These things saith he which hath the sharp sword in his hands. Hath the sharp sword with two edges. The sharp sword with two edges. Do you understand? Now, never in the Bible, never, never in the Bible is the sword less than the exact symbol or type of the Word of God. Remember when he comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon, a sword is proceeding out of his mouth. Now, this sword proceeding out of his mouth then, and this sword in his hand right here, is an action that is taking place. The Word of God is defining the church. Listen to me. The Bible is defining your church right now. I don't care what the name is. It don't matter whether it's Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Church of the Nazarene. It doesn't matter the name. The Bible is defining your church. Nothing else can define the church but the Word of God. If the Bible is not totally and utterly seen in its pure form, your church is a Thyatira church, maybe a Pergamos church, which is on the way to being a Thyatira church. Now, if your church is full of the Word, and that man of God stands in that pulpit and he preaches it straight as an arrow, that's the Smyrna church. That's the Smyrna church. Is your church a Smyrna church today? Are you in a Pergamos church? Are you in a Thyatira church? I mean, tell me. I want to hear from you. See, I want to hear from everybody in my listening audience, and I want you to help me define the church world out there and help us understand that only the biblical definition is the true definition of the true church. And if we're going to have a revival, we got to have some Smyrna churches. Do you hear me? Some lily white power crowds. Lily white, not in their own goodness, not in their own righteousness. I'm not talking about, legalism. I'm talking about the transforming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the transforming authority of the Holy Scripture. When the Bible, when the Word of God literally saturates and moves that church for His glory. Now remember the rock, the living Word and the written Word. Nobody doubts that. You know that's what defines the church. The living Word and the written Word. Now, Jesus Christ with this sharp two-edged sword in his hand meant that he was looking at that church and trying to define it to them. So that they would do something about their church. It's your duty to do something about your church. It's your duty to let the Bible define your church. And then on that definition from the Bible, go to the pastor, go to the elders, or go to the members, or whoever you have to go to and say, we got to define our church by the Bible. If the Bible doesn't define it, we're in trouble. Now notice in the first church, he was walking in the midst of the church. You notice in the second church, Smyrna, he was proud of it, and he was doing nothing but commending them. But now notice in the third church, he comes in with a two-edged sword in his hand. He's applying the Bible to them. He's applying the Word of God to them. He's dealing with them on the basis of the Bible. And then you go to Thyatira, and you got a mess. And he even tells them at Thyatira, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to throw you into the tribulation. I'm going to cast you into the tribulation if you don't straighten up that church and get things back lily white as they were at Smyrna. Now, this is about as plain of truths as the church could ever hear. And if you are listening to me, and I hope you will do something to help your church be that church it ought to be so that Christ can use it for a Holy Ghost revival. Every great revival arose out of a Smyrna church. You hear me? Every great revival arose out of a Smyrna church. Out of a church, I don't mean the people were absolutely perfect. I don't mean there wasn't anything there that couldn't be bettered or improved. There always is that. Always. Always will be improvements that can be made. Apostle Paul even said, I've not yet obtained that for which I was obtained. He was still moving toward improvement and moving toward a more dedicated life. But the resurrected Christ was at that church called Smyrna. And now he's at the church called Pergamos with a two-edged sword in his hand. A two-edged sword in his hand. Now, that is an overwhelming picture. That is an overwhelming picture. Now, you see, the Pergamos church had a very, very definable problem. You want me to help you understand that definable problem? I hope you do. Listen to me. They had allowed the spirit of Balaam to enter that church. And the spirit of Balaam teaches God's people to commit fornications. I don't mean fornications with men or women. I mean fornications with their lifestyle. They become worldly. They become worldly. They begin to govern their lives by the world's standards rather than by God's standards. You know, the Bible says, come out from the world and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you can be my sons and my daughters. I mean, that's the desire of the church, is to be near to you, to be close to you, and to literally show his love to you, to show his blessing to you, that you can grow in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me take you, and let's look at that. Will you do it with me now? Get your questions ready. Get your questions ready. I want to give you today a copy of this booklet Upon This Rock I Will Build My Church, okay? I want to give you a copy of this booklet, Upon This Rock I Will Build My Church. It's a wonderful booklet. If you've got the book of Revelation, you have it in the second chapter, but many of you don't have the book of Revelation, so here's a portion out of chapter 2 of my book, the book of Revelation. I've added to it, and I think improved it, and this program goes along with it, and I'm telling you that Christ is desperate for a people he can use. What's wrong with America is not Obama and the White House. What's wrong with America is all the church members and God's house. If we'll get God's house back where it ought to be, we can help change things in the White House. And I pray to God that we will do so on that election day this November. My friends, America is in trouble. I was reading yesterday how much money, billions, that Obama has given to Iran. And it overwhelmed me. I went home angry. I don't mean angry in a mean, ugly way, but I mean angry way down deep inside. You've got to hear the program all the way to the end, friend, because I'm telling you, I got some things to say that you really do need to hear. You really do need to hear. And I love you. I'm here to tell you I love you. I love the church. I love the church. Upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. He loved the church. He said that by his blood, he purchased the church. That was said to Apostle Paul and the people of Ephesus. By his blood, he purchased the church, my friend. I want you to know something. The church is precious to him. Now, grab your phones. I'm ready to take calls because I don't want us to do all the talking. I want you to get involved with me. Questions and answers and feelings. You don't want to miss what I'm going to say near the close of this broadcast about why there's such a division in America in the voting block. I want you to understand why. Why so many people are voting one way or the other and have such deep feelings and even anger. Oh, I'm telling you, it has probably never been an election in America when there was so much anger on both sides. And never are we justified to be angry in a mean way. The Bible says be angry and sin not. We can be bothered by things and deeply bothered, but it should drive us to our knees to pray, to seek the face of God. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Somehow my numbers to put up are not in front of me today, and I'll find that after the program is over. I've had someone in here working, trying to get my wall camera fixed, and somehow we got things a little whoppa-jawed, but they'll be okay. I'll get that fixed, so don't worry about it. But call us at 1-800-338-7884 or 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I want to hear from every one of you immediately. And I want to give you that booklet on Upon This Rock, I Will Build My Church. His church, not my church. His church. I love his church. I've been a believer 64 years, and I've loved the church from the day I was saved. I mean, I'll never forget how much I loved the church. I remember one time I was just a teenage boy and before I was married, and I was depressed that day, and I needed a touch from the Lord. And so I took off to the church in the middle of the day. Everything was locked, and I couldn't find a door to get in or window to open. And I finally went around behind the side of the church where there was a furnace, an old coker furnace, I think you would call them, a coal furnace, and the door was open to that coal room, and I went down in it, down in among the coal and the old furnace, and found me somewhere to pray. And I'll never forget it. I used to tell people, and I still do occasionally, when I went into that old coal room, I couldn't touch the bottom from beneath. I mean, I couldn't even reach up and touch the bottom. But when I come out of that old coal room, I couldn't even reach down and touch the top. I mean, he overwhelmed me with his presence and shook me to my eye teeth rattled, gave me a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And it's just one of those defining moments of my Christian life. As I was young, teenage boy, growing, wanting to be everything God wanted me to be, I felt called to preach from the very moment I can remember. After I was saved, I knew I was called to preach. And I was so tongue-tied I couldn't talk. You know, I used to tell people, the doctor tipped my tongue, but still can't talk no better. But Jesus has healed it, not completely. There's some, I have to deal with some of it, but that's okay. You probably don't often hear it, maybe occasionally. But I want to tell you something. When you become part of a church, you're part of God's body. He said the church is his body on this earth. You treat the church secondary, friend, and I'm going to feel sorry for you because the church is his body. You remember him saying that? Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, I got a mic that keeps messing me up today. I'll get it around here where it won't do it, maybe. Listen, I want to tell you something. Listen to me now, very clear and very plain, that his church is very important. And you must love the church. You must love the church. You can't afford that let anything cheat you out of love for the church. It is just that important and just that very special to love the church, to care for the church. And to dedicate your life to the church. Now, we're talking about that. And I want you to have this booklet, Upon This Rock, I Will Build My Church. In a minute, we're going to go to the Bible. I'm going to show you some reasons why we better get rid of all of these compromised Bibles that are everywhere. Everywhere. Had a man come in today. He just read, yesterday. He just read one of my booklets on the NIV Bible. And he said, I went through my house and got every one of them and got them out of my house. Out of my house. That thrilled me to death. I mean, he's helping me on this computer. And he got them out because they are bad. They're not Bibles. They're commentaries. And they're liberal commentaries. And they're written by mostly, not there's some variation, but mostly liberal people. And so, my friend, you need a Bible that's literal, that's true, that's dependable, that you can live by. I'm a King James person. I don't cut people down who are not. I'm not here to destroy you. I'm not here to make you angry with me. I'm here to get you into something that will change your life. Is that fair enough? Is that fair enough? Now, I wanted to take you and do a little bit here with the church at Pergamos. Why was he so concerned about that church at Pergamos? I know thy works and where thou dwelleth, even where Satan's seat is. Notice that. And thou holdest fast my name and hath not denied my faith. Listen now. Even in those days when Antipas was a faithful martyr who was slain among you when Satan, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. I have a few things against thee because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, listen now, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Now, when you begin to look at all of this, and you see why the Lord had to deal with them as he did, you remember he came in with a two-edged sword in his hand, and he tells them the good things about them. They're faithful. They still hold the Bible. They're not completely gone, but they're certainly slipping because they've allowed Balaam to come in and teach them. Have you heard about this sinner-friendly church world? Sinner, you know, people think you can bring the sinner into the church and incorporate him in the church life and thereby save him. No, you don't save the sinner by bringing him in and incorporating him in the church. You keep the church pure so that you bring him in once he's saved or in need of being saved and ready to be saved. And then the church is such a high, holy group. They teach him godly living. They teach him righteous living. They teach him how to be a servant of Christ and how to bear the cross and how to love the lost. And, you know, the greatest soul winners are those who just got saved. and they're just full of the joy and the life of Christ and the life of the Lord, and they're really on fire, and they're the best. They're the best. Now, I want to tell you, the church world at Pergamos had compromised, and they were going away. And when you get to Thyatira, man, you have really got a mess. You got a today's church world in Thyatira and Laodicea. You can look at Thyatira and Laodicea, and you will see today's church world. And the whole matter is they've forsaken the Word of God. The one problem, I'm here to tell you, you can look at all the things and find this wrong and that wrong and that wrong, but the one problem is the Bible. The Bible no longer holds preeminence. The Bible no longer is the infallible book that sits on that pulpit and nobody varies in their teaching from the book. The Bible has got to be the center. The Bible has got to be the master under Christ. The master under Christ. Now, you know, when you begin to look at all of this, you say, Brother Chambers, I just don't believe that God has preserved the Bible perfectly, and that we've got to move around and find the true and best scriptures and the true and best doctrines. Oh no, the Bible is pure from beginning to end. Let me read to you the book of Psalms. You remember the great David, the great King David, and the book of Psalms. You know, the book of Psalms is the gospel of the Old Testament. The book of Psalms is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That's not a better name for it than that. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, listen to what the Lord said. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. That's the Bible. A furnace of fire purified seven times. Now listen to this. Thou, now this is talking about the Lord. Psalmist David talking. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. How many of you ever heard that read? Has your church ever read that to you? Let me try to tell you. And I have to. This is very little print, and so I'll have to have a little help here. But let me read you what the NIV said about this pure Bible that we love and that we know to be the pure Word of God. Now, I want you to hear this. Very, very important. Let me make sure I find the right place for myself. The book of, well, my Bible had got turned over there, and I didn't have the right place. Forgive me. I'm on my way. I want you to hold your Bible and stay right there with me. I'm not going to fail you. I promise you, the book of Psalms, chapter 12, and I'm in the NIV Bible, and instead of saying, thou shalt keep them, he says, O Lord, you will keep us. What? I mean, they changed from the Lord saying he was going to keep his word forever, and said, the Lord will keep us. Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. Well, he needs to protect us right now from them. You know, that's exactly what they said. They totally changed. Let me read it to you from the book of, from the Holy Book, the King James again. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. You can't change that. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From David's generation all the way to mine, your generation, the Lord shall keep the Bible and keep it pure. Do you believe that? Well, the NIV folks don't believe that, you know. And they said it plain. I mean, you can't say it any plainer. Lord, you will keep us safe. With the Bible. That's how you keep us safe, is with the Bible. You see, I'm just giving you a little picture here. Now, get your phone ready. I want to hear from you. I want you to tell me what you think about this NIV Bible. Tell me if your church is in it. And if they've, and I can read you dozens and dozens and dozens of things just as contradictory. They even call Jesus the son of Joseph. They even call Jesus the son of Joseph. Now, friend, I'm here to tell you, you do not want to get yourself in a Bible like that. Here's one, The Message. Oh, boy, a lot of the modern ones really love this book. What does it say? It says, pure on earth as well as in heaven, Now, this is the quote, God keep us safe from their lies. Lord, keep us safe from their lies. Now, did you hear me? Are you listening to me? That's what the message, okay? Written by Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson. Somebody's commentary that people take as the Bible. I mean, people actually quote this. This is one Bible that some of the biggest preachers love, and they quote it more than any other. And it's really nothing but New Age script is all it is. It's nothing but New Age script. Instead of saying, Lord, thou shalt keep them from ever, every generation, from now on, it says, God, will you keep us? Well, he needs to keep us from them. I mean, that's the saddest thing. He needs to keep us from them because of what they are doing to the church world. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, you're making a whole lot of something out of nothing. Oh, no, I'm not. I know exactly where I'm at. I know exactly what I'm saying, and I'm right on target. And I'm telling you, a church like Smyrna, that's lily white, that's still in the pure word of God, that's where Holy Ghost revival is fixing to begin. I'm expecting it any moment. It may just happen in a morning right here or maybe somewhere else. It doesn't have to start here. I want to be part of it. I just want to stretch across the church world. I want you to be part of it. I want the church world to be a part of it. And if your church will not go back to Smyrna and to a pure white, lily white church, you better get out of it and find you a place where truth is real and where they love truth. Now open up the lines, 1-800-338-7884. You're not going to turn against me because I'm being real plain today, are you? Next week, I'm going to talk about heaven. Heaven. Did you know that heaven is still real? Oh, I'm so excited. I've already got a lot of my notes, and I can't wait next week to get in here and talk to you about paradise and about palaces, about mansions, about ivory palaces. I want to tell you about the place that Paul was caught up to. Don't you miss next week. I'm here to tell you, don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. The Bible is a literal book, and you can always depend upon it literally. I promise you that. Now, I want to hear from you. Email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. And then remember, first number is toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. And then our local number, 704-391-0588. The ladies are waiting right now. They're waiting right now. They want you to call because they want to send you this wonderful booklet and they want to get you on our new website, paulcreek.org. Our new website, paulcreek.org. I want to get you on that. It is really beautiful and it's expanding every day. We're a long ways from having it full of everything, but we've made a great start and we are very excited. Now, while I'm waiting on your calls, the lines are open, 1-800. Grab your phone. Now, do you like what I'm saying? If you don't call me, I mean, that means I guess you don't like what I'm saying. Well, probably don't, but call me, would you? I want to hear what you got to say. What do you think about the Bibles? What do you think about NIV versus the King James? What do you think about this Bible called The Message I just read from? Can you believe those kind of contradictions put into a book that's called the Bible? That's overwhelming to me. It really is. And I hope you understand it is robbing the church of the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus cannot walk in a church that has left the Word of God. Jesus cannot walk in a church that has left the Word of God. If he comes by with a two-edged sword. Do you hear me? And he comes to straighten it out and to put it straight and to put it right and to help you go back to the old truth. Now grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884. I want to talk to dozens of you, one after the other. And so you have to call and whatever you want to talk about concerning this subject right here. Nothing else. I want to hear from you, okay? I want to hear from you. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about dollars and cents, okay? You know that last week I told you I was starting a special effort from beginning last week all the way through the first weekends of October to raise $20,000. I got about $2,000 this week. I got a little over $2,000 this week, counting today. A little over $2,000. And now I need $18,000 more with 4 weeks to get it. Will you help me? Will you be a part of it? Will you get on your excitement, on your joys. Let me know you love what we're doing. You love getting in here and studying the Bible like we do and talk about old-fashioned truths. You love it because I don't compromise. Just a straightforward man, and you want to be part of it, and you want to help me. There's people out there could give the whole 20, and if you did, it would just go on our debt and would help us. We only owe $100,000, a little less more, and we want it paid off really this week. To be honest with you, I am so anxious that it's behind me. Oh, if you knew how hungry I were for all of that done and finished, you'd want to help me in a big way. You really would. And there's plenty of you out there that can. And nowhere better to put your dollars in a great, faithful ministry that holds true to the Bible. Okay? Grab your Bible. Grab your phone also, as well as your Bible. Let me go here to the web. To email and see if I have any questions that's come in on the email. I love to hear from you. I love it when you get right in the middle of it with me and begin to ask questions and really help me. I really do love it. And I want you in the middle of it today. You are very, very important to me. Now, let's see if we have any questions. Well, I got a lot of something there. Woo! It's coming in. Body of Christ. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Isn't the church the body of Christ and the bride and the bride is New Jerusalem? Yes, the church is the body of Christ. Maybe I didn't know you asked that when I said it a while ago, but that's okay. I'm glad you're thinking like I'm thinking. The church is the body of Christ. Now, how can you treat the church anyway but of the highest expectation and the highest appreciation and the highest honor when you know it's the body of Christ? I mean, that is an overwhelming truth. That is an overwhelming truth. Well, I got things all mixed up here, and I'm trying to find any other questions or answers. I guess that's all so far today. Let me go to the junk mail. Sometimes I'll get one there, okay? I want to hear from you. You are very important to me. Very important. And I just want you to grow in the Lord and to have the best Jesus got for you. And I want you to love the church and be an intimate part of it. I'm going to tell you, David said in Psalms 23, the last verse, and I'm going to dwell in the house, notice, house of the Lord forever. Hey, that's New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. Did you know that? It's the temple of our God. His throne will be there. The light of that great city will lighten the whole universe. A new heaven, a new earth with this great city of New Jerusalem. You wait till next Saturday when we get to talking about heaven and to talking about the mansions and talking about the palaces. The word palace is all in the Bible. 83 times the word palace or palaces is in the Bible. 83 times. And the word paradise. You know what the word paradise means? It means, I go to say it and it didn't come out. It means garden. I'm sorry, it means Eden. The Garden of Eden. And you know what the word Eden means? It means sumptuous. I mean, sumptuous. It's talking about a life so beautiful and so wonderful. Hey, I'm getting on next Saturday. But you don't mind, I'll get you excited. Did you know why Apostle Paul was told he could not describe the city or the place called paradise? He said it was unlawful for him to tell you about it because he didn't want you loving the great promises of the future more than you love the promiser whose name is Jesus. The whole truth of it was to keep you in love with Jesus. He's the center of your life. He's the center of your walk. Now, I'm waiting on your calls. It's 24 till, and I don't want to waste a minute. I want to hear from you. I got plenty to say, and I can talk on, but I want you answering or asking something good. Something good. How much do you love the church? If you love the church, let me have a few calls that don't have to say a thing. But Brother Chambers, I really do love the church. I'm here to tell you, for 64 years, I've never had love for anything more in this world. I'm talking about in the world than the church. My wife and the church are the two things I live for. I really don't live for anything else. Oh, I love my family. I care about them. But they are supposed to be part of the church. And if they're part of the church and part of my wife and I, then they're going to be right under all the pouring out of love. And we'll do it as we can otherwise. But Jesus is coming, and there's no time to play games. Now, let me hear from you. I want to hear from you quickly. Grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, let me go to the church of Thyatira while you're calling. The church of Thyatira. You know what was wrong with that church? Well, let me just get it here and open the Bible. Listen to me. Very, very important. Very, very important. Well, I'm in the wrong book. That don't work, does it? Well, going in this Bible and loving it and living in it, I wear one out a year. I wear just about a Bible out every year because I live in the Bible. Listen now. I want to read to you. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Now, notice, the first church, he's walking in the midst of it. The second church, he has nothing but commendations. The third church, he has a double-edged sword in his hand. Now, this church, he's got flaming eyes. Something has happened that's tearing his church apart. And if his church is torn apart, it's tearing his heart apart. I'm here to tell you, he loves his church. The body of Christ is loved by the Father and loved by the Son and loved by the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? It is loved, and it is to be loved by us. And so he writes into this church and tells them very plainly, I mean plainly, I'm losing my place here, and I'm sorry. You know how it is. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have somewhat against thee, because thou suffereth the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I see pictures of these Jezebels all over the media who are doing this religious meeting and that religious meeting and teaching the women how to reach their full potential, how to be what they want to be. I mean, it's all kinds of secular garbage. Garbage. Friend, if you are going under any teacher except those who've just got a big old Bible in their hand and teaching you to walk with Christ and to live close to Calvary and telling you what a sanctified life will do and how the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit if you'll live a consecrated and godly life and be holy and pure and dress like a lady, and walk like a lady, and talk like a lady, and be a man, and live like a man, and be strong, and be a great pillar for your family, and a great barrier in your community. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm about to tell you what I want to tell you at the end of this program. You know what's wrong with America right now? You know what's wrong with this coming election? You know why people, literally, I had a man ask me in the barbershop yesterday, why do so many men dislike Trump? I said they dislike him because he speaks with authority. These men are wimpy men. They're effeminate. They cannot stand a man with authority in his voice. If there's any reason people don't like Joe Chambers, this preacher, and I've got some enemies, believe me. They'd tear me apart. They want to stop me so bad they can't stand it. They want to destroy me so bad they can't get over it. And why do they dislike me? Because I speak with authority. I say what's in this book. I say it clarity. If somebody's not living right, don't walk up to me and say I'm ready to go to heaven, because I'm gonna look at you and say you don't live like that. Your life certainly don't have that kind of character about it. If you're going to go in that rapture and you're going to go to heaven, you're going to live like a saint of God. Only saints are going up in that rapture. Only saints are going up in that rapture. I mean full-time saints too. I don't mean somebody that's like an elevator. They're up and down. One day they're up. One day they're down. You know, effeminate. Don't want to hear nothing. The church world is facing the most horrible, horrible attitude of hatred for authority. Never has the church been so hated for its authority. They want a Bible that's a smorgasbord Bible. Give me a Bible that I can understand. You know why they can't understand the King James? They've never been born again. I'll never forget that old preacher. I think he was a preacher. He was a black man, a beautiful Christian man, the way he sounded. And he called me one day and said, "Brother Chambers, if you're listening, sir, you may already be with Jesus. I don't know, because you was old back then." That was at least 10 years ago. And this great man said to me, he said, "Brother Chambers, the Bible wasn't created for men to understand. Men are created to understand the Bible." He said, "That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be saved. You don't understand the Bible if you've never been converted. You don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. You're not walking in the Holy Spirit. You're not living a consecrated life. The cross is not the center of your walk. Of course you don't understand the King James. It's a book of authority. So you want one of these, the Message, or the NIV. Look at the preachers and the churches who have gone after these Bibles, and look at how liberal they are. Today, as I was thinking, "Hey, where's your call?" My gracious, have I not had a call? Have I run everybody off? No. You know I'm telling you the truth. You'll be here next week when we talk about heaven, won't you? But I want to tell you something. Now listen to me. Go back all the way through church history. There was a time when the Catholic Church was pure. There was a time when the Catholic Church was relatively pure. Then there was a time when the Lutheran Church was pure. Then there was a time when the Presbyterian Church was pure. And then the Methodists. And then the Pentecostals. You know? And it's just come down through the ages that great groups of people have slowly compromised. And what happened to the Catholic Church was they rejected the Ephesus Bible. The Bible that had been copied up at Ephesus by the pure church. And the pure church at Ephesus had to protect the scripture for a couple of hundred years and keep a pure copy, because the Catholic Church had left the Word of God and gone after these manuscripts that are right today becoming part of the NIV and the other conflicting Bibles. Friend, you got to look at all of this. This is not hearsay. These are not funny words. I'm not fantasy thinking. I'm telling you the way it is. And I'm telling you, if you're going to walk with God, you need to have an authoritative Bible. You need a pastor who's a man of authority. You don't want one of these young dudes who goes to the pulpits with shorts on and a pair of sandals. That's not what you want for a pastor. I mean, he's an effeminate one, because he doesn't want authority himself, and he certainly don't represent any authority, and that's the church world. But I'm here to tell you, the real church will stand on this book, head and body, and all the way to the feet, and will be faithful to it. And oh, how God will use such a church. Hallelujah. Remember, revival always begins in a lily white Smyrna church. Revival always begins in a lily white Smyrna church. That's where revival is always, you know, dug out and birthed in a lily white church. And then it will spread and it will touch people in many quarters. And that's wonderful. We want that. You know, I don't want to sit on the Word of God and the power of God and the things of God as some Pharisee. I want to spread the truth. I want to tell the story. I want to win the lost. I want to bless every church group in the world. And I want to call us back to the infallible Word of God. Now, I'm here to tell you, people love Hillary because she represents a feminazi kind of lifestyle. She represents this wild feminism. Wow, feminism. And people who love Trump love him because he speaks with authority. He doesn't try to be politically correct. In fact, I'm not politically correct. You already knew that, didn't you? You already knew. The Lord showed me several years ago that Hillary would never be president. So I'm telling you right now, and you can believe what I'm saying, Donald Trump will be the next president if Jesus doesn't come. If Jesus comes, probably all of that's out. But if Jesus doesn't come, Donald Trump will be our next president. I'm telling you that in the name of the Lord. It will not be Hillary. So I want you to understand that. But I don't want you to take that for granted and do nothing. I want you praying and fasting and seeking God with all your soul. I want you binding demons and devils and dark spirits. And I want you to understand God needs a lily white church. A lily white church. So the lines are open. 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 13, 14, something like that. Call quickly 1-800-338-7884. I can just imagine now my first call. You upset with me and you called to tell me. I'm going to answer and I'm going to listen. And I'm going to be your friend and we're going to move on to the next caller and we're just going to have a good time. So grab your phone. I'm going to wait on you. I want to hear from you. Thank you for the questions I got on the email. That's good. I appreciate that. It was actually a good, strong comment, and I liked it. Let me go here and see what I can find. Well, why? Oh, I know. I need to go back to my, I'm there. Now I got you. It would be great if you could stream your service live. It would be great if I could stream. Talk about my Sunday morning service. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stream my Sunday morning live because I want people to go to church. And if you don't go to church, you can get the DVD to watch 1 week late, see? And if you stream it live, you just give people an excuse not to go to church. And I don't want to give you that. I'd get in a wheelchair if I had to and go to church. I'd use walkers if I had to go to church. Now, I know there'd be some limitation and there'd be some situations where that's not possible. And you know I understand that. And I'm not being mischievous with you. I get out the right word here. Now, I want to hear from you. Anybody else that has a question or a statement, I want to hear from you. You are very important. And I want to hear from you because I want to answer your question. I want to answer what you're thinking. I want to respond to what you're thinking. I want to just let you think if that's what is best. Grab your phone, 1-800-338. Now, we've got four lines. I want everybody out there to call quickly. Every one of you. Now, while you're calling, don't forget my request for your financial help the next 4 weeks. I want to hear from you. I want you involved with me, and I believe you want to be. And so don't miss it, okay? You are important, and I want you as a helper, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor. I think, I believe that the only way we're going to get a little white church is if the Lord allows another 9/11. That's where we're at today.
And I say that again. I didn't quite get your words.
I think the Lord may allow 9/11 once again.
You may allow 9/11. You know, I fear for that, and I think that's a possibility. It seemed to me that 9/11 didn't really wake us up, but just for a few days. And we went right back to sleep. And look at all the things that's happened since then. And look at this attitude about Hillary Clinton's presidency. She has proven to be a liar. She's proven to be a thief. She's proven to be everything dark for killing unborn babies, for same-sex marriage. She's the woman who's her right hand is definitely connected to the Muslim world. She is as pro-Muslim as Obama is pro-Muslim. They are dangerous people. They are dangerous. If we get that woman, America is over.
Again, Pastor, maybe the Lord's going to allow her in too.
Well, I think God wants to give us a reprieve.
Yeah.
I really do. I think God wants to give us a reprieve. And I think we're fixing to have it. I think a good Holy Ghost revival is right on the verge. I'm waiting and I'm going to be part of it. And I can hardly wait, my friend, for a Holy Ghost revival.
I'm waiting for that too, Pastor.
I want to know, have I said the right things today?
Yes, Pastor. Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Do I sound too hard?
No.
See, authority is a gone thing in America. People don't want anybody. They don't want a president who's a man of authority. They don't want congressmen and senators who look at the wimpy senators and representatives in the House we've had the last 8 years. They make me sick. They've been so effeminate and they've been so wimpy. They haven't been willing to stand for nothing. We can't stand that any longer. We don't need that any longer. We've got to have somebody in the pulpit and in the White House that speaks with authority. And you know, I heard Donald Trump say this week that he wanted America back to where we had one flag and one God and we're one people. Now, I love that.
Well, Pastor, I think that what's wrong with the church is we lost our first love, but we don't even realize it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and the people never realize it when they lose their first love. And you only make them mad if you try to tell them.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Good morning, Pastor.
Hey.
This is Babs calling from Iowa. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you well.
I am just, I can't believe that your phones aren't ringing off the wall today.
Well, people don't know what to say, I think. And maybe a lot of people think I'm too strong.
Oh, I just, when you get on the subject of the Bibles, my blood pressure goes up. It makes me so upset that they are using these NIV Bibles in the churches. In fact, they're using it in the church that I attend. And it grieves my heart. And people don't, they're sitting there, it's like they're asleep. It's like they don't care.
Well, they're just comfortable, and they have no spiritual move in their life. Most of them are not even born again.
If they would just do, I started really studying this because when I visited my grandchildren in Chicago, I found out they were using the NIV in their Christian school.
Yeah, the Christian schools are in the NIV because many of the Christian schools are nothing but secular education with a prayer prayed over it.
I just could not believe it. And when I tried to talk to the parents, they got very upset with me.
Oh, boy.
Said there was nothing wrong with that Bible, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if people just would start studying about these NIVs, they would find out that the manuscripts that they've used for most of these Bibles that the cults are using.
Exactly. The Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus are the two manuscripts, and they both are nothing but Catholicism and liberalism.
Right. I was wondering if you had mentioned that on your program.
Well, I haven't today, but I have many times before.
That the NIV is actually a Catholic Bible.
And you know what they say? They say this is not a translation. This is a transliteration.
Right.
That means they translate thoughts instead of words. Whatever the translator thinks that means is what they got. Just like what I read. Did you hear me read from Psalms 12?
Yes.
Wasn't that powerful?
Yes. And do you know when you go down where it says it's been purified seven times?
Yeah.
Well, study that. You will see all of the Bible translations prior to the King James, and the King James is number seven.
You're kidding. Yeah, that's great. Number seven. Well, I hadn't studied that. Can't document that in my mind, but I can tell you that that's acceptable to me. We are living in a desperate hour, and God tries the church with the Bible. Just like I said, when he walked into the Pergamos church, he walked in with a two-edged sword in his hands. That meant one thing simple. I'm trying you with the Bible.
So these people that are trusting in these false Bibles, the corrupt word. So when it says in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God, are they believing in a different Jesus?
Well, in many cases, yes. I can't paint with a broad brush there. They just are deceived. Most of them never been saved. If they've been saved, they've been liberalized until they are in a backslid condition. They certainly are not spiritual. If you are spiritual and you pick up a non-spiritual Bible, you'll feel it in your hands.
Well, if they would do any studying, the NIV and many of these translations are so corrupt that there are scriptures that deny the deity of Christ. They've taken out the blood. They've made Jesus out to be a liar.
You are so right, dear lady. Thank you for calling now. I've got to go because my time's giving out.
Okay.
But I love your call from Iowa. That's wonderful to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And you sound like you're sitting next door. God bless you, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Now, folks, I want to tell you, we are living in a dark hour. But there's a real Bible that you can have. Go get you a King James Bible. You said they're hard to find. Of course they're hard to find. I've got 12 books that are wonderful books. Four of them have been published. The other seven have not. And I'm finishing up eight. And you know why they don't want to publish them? Because I'm a King James man. They would all in a moment.
All right, welcome back.
In a moment, if I would let them take it and translate it into NIV, they would publish my books because they're good. But I will not do it. And maybe God's going to help me overcome that and give me a publisher. Pray for God to give me a publisher, will you? I mean a bona fide, dedicated publisher that really has the ability to put it out there and to do a great job. Pray for that. That would be a miracle. It really would. Now remember, I'm depending on you helping me reach this goal that I've got set for 20,000. That will catch up everything I owe that has to do with this radio broadcast. Everything. And this video and internet ministry. Everything. It would help me. It would get it all caught up, and I'd have a zero balance with all of that. Would you help me do that? By the first Sunday in October, I need $18,000 more. $18,000. And I believe you're going to help me. I believe I'm going to have an outpouring of concern and love. Hey, I'm a man telling you the truth. And there's not a lot of people that are willing to tell you the truth today. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. I'm here to make life rich and sweet in the graces of God for you. And everything I desire is for your benefit. Let me see if I don't have another question here. I was hoping for another on the internet, but I do not. That's okay. Thank you for those who did. I love every bit of it. Just being a part of all your lives is a joy to me. And I want to tell you, next week, I hope that camera on the wall will be working where I can see these ladies better when they come to the door, and I can be a little further away from you so I'm not up in your face. But maybe the Lord's wanting me up close to you, digging at you with this holy book. Remember, when Jesus walked into that church at Pergamos, he walked in with the Bible open, and he judged them by the Bible. Your church is being defined by the Bible. Your church is being defined by the Holy Word of God, not the NIV either, and not the message that I read from. They are even worse than the NIV. I'm here to tell you something, folks. These things are terrible. In fact, someone said to me this week, the NIV is actually a Muslim Bible. Really? I hadn't studied that out, but I can believe he's probably right. A Muslim Bible. Yeah, I mean, look at the church world going and saying the God of the Christian is the same as the God of the Muslims, so named Allah. Friend, that is insanity. I said that is insanity. That is pure crazy. God help us to understand that and put a stop to it. Well, it's been a joy today. What a broadcast we've had. It has been wonderful. We're going to go back here and get some music. And I care about you. You are special. Don't fail to help me. I love you. I love you. I love you.